Our Bible reading today comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 8, and it's found on the Red Church Bibles on page 770, or up behind me, I think. Yeah. Okay. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth."
Thanks, Jane. Friends, Ngawi Baptist Church is committed to being a world missions mobilizing church. That means a church that sends workers into the mission fields in Australia and throughout the nations. We are a church which prays, plans, recruits, trains, and gives financially so that the unreached peoples of the world will glorify God for his love, for his mercy, and for Christ our Saviour. It is our desire, alongside God's desire, that the nations of all the earth would glorify God and sing for joy to him. Psalm 67, verse 4. And it is our conviction from the scriptures that God intends to gather worshippers for his son Jesus from all the nations. Yet we know from groups such as the Joshua Project that there are 7,000 unreached people groups in the world today, with a total population of 3.1 billion people. We call them unreached groups. An unreached group is defined as a group which has less than 2% Christ followers, authentic Christians, and less than 5% professing Christians. The majority of these people live in what is called the 10-40 window. People living within the boundaries of the 10th and 40th parallels in a rectangle of land stretching from West Africa to East Asia. The 67 countries of the 10-40 window are home to 5,900 unreached people groups. The three of the world's most dominant religious blocs, Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism, have their strongholds in this area. The poorest of the poor, 80% of them living on less than $500 per person per year, are in this area. Take Thailand, for example, where Jit and Jan work with Lantern Light Ministries, and we'll be supporting them this month. 1.2% of people in Thailand profess to be Christians. 0.66% claim to be Protestant believers in the whole nation. In Bali, where Access Life and the Bali Youth Centre work in various ministries, the Christian population is 2.5%. In Indonesia overall, professing Christians are 12.75%. Sounds like a lot. 2.84% evangelical. The areas where David and Carol work, for example, amongst the BI and SI people groups, unreached people groups, it is predominantly Muslim. To go into those areas where they live and they work, everyone they are dealing with are Muslims. So when you think about David and Carol and education foundations, you're thinking about creative care or creation care, you think about a cafe ministry, it's seeking to love people and engage with people, that these people groups will come to understand that Jesus is truly Messiah. And for me, one of the exciting things of partnering with God in this work is that we see lives transformed. And God is at work in these unreached people groups. There are new believers where David and Carol work. And I'm planning soon, I was going to be planning this year to head over there in November, but there's a wedding coming up, so that's messed it up a little bit. But sometime I'm hoping to go and see personally the work that they are doing. We've been supporting that work as an unreached people group for 15 to 18 years now as a church. We adopted them as an unreached people group. There are new believers in Lebanon. So much so that they're planting a new congregation. So much so that Lawson Wallace, that we will hear about, he will be here next week. We will interview him. He's raising funds to go and be the youth pastor in this church plant in Beirut, Lebanon. We're about to plant a second night congregation. People are getting saved. Leaders trained to evangelize and disciple people in PNG and in Zambia and Zimbabwe, where we are training pastors, men and women, to go and do the work of evangelism and mission. Strategic role as part of mission. It's exciting to see these people trained and equipped to evangelize and disciple. And we're seeing evangelism and growth in the ministry in Mozambique and Malawi, where the Cranes work. The Cranes will be on home assignment, and on May 27th, the last Sunday of this month, Jono and Heather and their children will be here preaching and telling us real life stories. And by the way, on the 20th, so Lawson is here next week to tell us what's happening in Lebanon. The next week we have a worker, Melissa, from Access Life in Bali, who will be in Australia, and she'll be sharing at all of our services. So the next 3 weeks, today you just get me and Chris, and that's, we're okay, right? But the next 3 weeks, you will also hear stories from the workers on the field in those areas. And we are thankful to God that these people are back in Australia at this time to give us eyewitness accounts of what is happening. But see, God is at work, and God will continue to be at work until the job is done. And this morning, I'm going to focus simply one verse and three truths. Number one, the Spirit wants the world for Christ. Number two, the Spirit uses disciples to reach the world for Christ. And number three, the Spirit gives power for worldwide witness. Number one, the Spirit wants the world for Christ. So you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We learn this truth that the Spirit wants the world for Christ by how we see verse 8 play out. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The second half says, and you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. How could Jesus be sure that the disciples would press on to the ends of the earth with their witness to Christ? Because he was going to send them the Holy Spirit with power. But why does the coming of the Holy Spirit guarantee that the disciples will press on to the ends of the earth? There's only one answer. The Spirit wants the world for Christ. The very coming of the Holy Spirit tells us that this is so significant. He wants to send us out in power so people would glorify Jesus and see how great he is. And the Spirit's all-consuming passion is to exalt Christ to the ends of the earth. If it were not so, there would be no guarantee or compelling incentive for us to press on to the ends of the earth. But it is the passion of the Holy Spirit. His job is not to draw glory and attention to himself, to draw attention and glory to Jesus. So Jesus says, I'm going to send him. He will live in you. He will empower you to go. Three things under this point. We're going to go to a few other scriptures. Number one, the Bible teaches that God is passionately committed to glorifying his name and spreading his fame throughout the nations. And that's something we are convinced of here at this church. If you're new to our church, you're going to be picking up this morning some of our heart and our commitment to mission here. God's ultimate goal is that he is known and praised and worshipped throughout the nations. And the Holy Spirit's job is to ensure that that takes place. John Piper says, mission exists because worship doesn't. The ultimate reason we go out, the ultimate reason we run holiday club, we run kids club, we run a men's breakfast, we send workers to the nations, is because we want more and more men and women, boys and girls, to worship God. Now, when we get to heaven, mission will be no more, right? Because we'll be with Christ, worshiping him. But until that time, our job is to go on mission. David said in Psalm 96, 1-3, sing to the Lord all the earth, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Isaiah 49, verse 6, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. You see, even in the Old Testament, Israel was meant to take good news to all the nations. Jesus said now in the New Testament, go make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28. This gospel must be proclaimed to all the nations, Mark 13. And zeal for the glory of God is the primary motive for world missions. Secondly, the nations, we're talking about going to the nations. The nation, or ta ethne in Greek, means in the Bible, does not just mean political, geographical nations like Argentina and Indonesia and Greece and Australia and Uganda and so on. It means ethnic groupings with cultural and language distinctions. And if we're going to be God's witnesses to the ends of the earth, we need to seek to make disciples of all nations, all the ethne. Revelation 5:9 says this, and they sang a new song, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men and women for God from every tribe and language and people and nations. So our task is not simply to win individuals, right? The biblical task as we go out is to make disciples of all the nations, all ta ethne. And our Baptist Global Interaction Mission Agency, a number of years ago, decided to focus on nine unreached people groups. You have those up on the screen. They also do other work like Lebanon, which is not part of this, and some other places. But these are the nine they targeted. So we're a small mission agency as a Baptist denomination in Australia compared to the world. And we need to focus our resources. The Bengali in Bangladesh, the BIRISI stand for different people groups in Southeast Asia, all in one country where David and Carol work. The Hawaii in China, the Kazakh in Central Asia, the Khmer in Cambodia, the ethnic Thai in Thailand, and the Yao in Malawi, Mozambique, where the Cranes work. And so we adopted a number of years ago the BI people group, and we continue to pray for the work of God there. And the third thing is to remember is that the purpose of God and the passion of the Spirit are not yet completed. Sometimes people say, oh, you know, we don't need to do mission anymore. I've had other leaders say, oh, we don't need to do that anymore. You know, the gospel's gone out everywhere. Australia was the end of the earth. We've heard the gospel. Don't worry about it. 3.1 billion people are still unreached. Don't believe that lie. And Oswald Smith makes this really challenging comment about mission and where the resources of the Christian church are used. He says, what would you do if you saw 10 men lifting up a log, and if 9 were on one end lifting it up easily, and there's one worker on the other side? There's a log, right? 9 people are lifting on one side, it's only one person on the other side. He said, you would reposition the workers, wouldn't you? He said, hey guys, come down here. Come, we need 5 there and 5 here. And then he says, in terms of mission, John Piper writes, yet year in and year out, we send men and women to the wrong end of the log, he says. The simple fact is that the deployment of Christian troops in the world is proof that the church in America, he's speaking as an American, does not yet have a wartime mentality. It is though in World War II, we drafted 1 million men and sent 600 to fight Hitler and 999,400 to Norfolk. Said the nations are out there unreached, and most of the resources are still to the Western church and are used to fund churches in America, churches in Australia. Says we need a greater deployment of troops into the unreached people groups of the world. We need to train and equip more men and women to go to places where they don't have the gospel, and we then need to give financial to get them there. And one of the great things of the main mission appeal, it reminds us that there are unreached people groups. It reminds us that some of those troops have moved to those places, to Mozambique. I can't imagine myself ever moving there. Or to parts of Asia. Can't imagine myself living there longer than a 2-week holiday or 3 weeks. But God has called some with that heart and passion and sent them out there. And the least we can do as Christians in the West and a church in a wealthy place like ours is to give financially and to pray and to stand with them as they go to those unreached people groups. So May is a great opportunity for us to say, I can't go, but I'll give that extra 50, extra 100, extra 500, extra $1,000 because you have made the tough decisions to go in places where I would never go, because God has called you to go. 3.1 billion unreached. Secondly, the Spirit uses the disciples to reach the world. Yes, the Spirit has a red-hot passion to see God glorified and Jesus lifted up and exalted, but he's going to use individuals. But you will receive power. This is the apostles, right? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that's your local area, in all Judea and Samaria, that's your state, and then, or your country, and then to the ends of the earth. And it's interesting that God chooses disciples to reach the world. Now, sometimes people get converted through listening to radio, right? Or television. And they're fantastic to be able to do that through radio and television. People hear the gospel. But there need to then be people on the ground who are doing that work to follow them up and to disciple them to start churches. And it takes men and women with the message to make those disciples. So David and Carol in Southeast Asia, and it's slow, but every so often as workers come in, if you aren't aware, and they work, and they have local Muslim people working in their offices and so on, in teaching English as they train them in the different programs, but they also do devotions together each week. And then some show an interest in Bible study, and even through the workers who come and partner with them, they're able to share the gospel and to see new believers. And then when they get saved, as a Muslim person comes to Christ, and they discover that Jesus is, what do we hear, the one who's alive, resurrected, they then pass on that message to others. The Christian Leaders Training College, we've supported individual workers over the years. Now we're supporting a couple of workers there this year to be trained to go back, sometimes into the mountains of PNG, sometimes into Moresby, sometimes into Hagen and other places, and mountainous areas. MAF is working there, especially with these terrible earthquakes and so on that they have suffered. Christian ministry is everywhere trying to take the gospel and bring relief to those places. I remember reading a story of a young woman from an Indonesian church in Indonesia who went to live in a Muslim community outside her normal experience. Didn't know what response she would get. She just wanted to live and work and love the people there and present Christ to them. And a few years later, she needed to go back to visit her own church and her own people. And the story was there were 20 women who followed her to the boat. And someone said they weren't there to evict her from the island because she was a Christian. They were there weeping and hugging her and asking her to return to their village after her trip home. You picture that? Here's this Christian woman, surrounded by 20 other Muslim women, someone who's loved and served and ministered to, and said, will you come back? Will you come back? Ado, who worked in Bali, Indonesia with Christian Surfers, and when he was based on the island after the Bali bombing in 2002, his Hindu friends said to him, do not leave our country. We love you. We'll protect you. His Muslim landlord said, don't leave. We don't want you to leave. We know this terrible thing has happened on our island, but don't leave. Stay here with us. Friends, that is the power of a Christ follower filled with the Holy Spirit, going and living in other communities, loving people, serving them. Thirdly, the Spirit gives power for worldwide witness. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Friends, without the Spirit's power, we don't have a hope, right? It is the Spirit who gives us the power to present the gospel in Australia. It is the Spirit who gives us the power to go to other nations. It is the Spirit who gives us the power to work with those little 10-year-old and 11-year-old boys during holiday club. They're always a bit of fun. Some of you have done that a few times. It takes a bit of Holy Spirit power, right? Not just over in Indonesia or in Malawi or in PNG. Luke 24:49, Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. God's purpose is to be known and praised and enjoyed among all the nations, and his plan will not fail. This gospel of the kingdom, listen to this, shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Sometimes people say to me, oh, I wish Jesus would come back. Terrible suffering and war and earthquakes and calamities and beheadings. And he says, yes, he will come back when the gospel has gone to all the nations. So if you want Jesus to come back, I say to Christians, well, let's just get on with the job, right? Taking the gospel, 3.1 billion people unreached. It's not coming back until we finish the job. Get involved in world missions. But the ground of this certainty that it will be done and completed is the sovereignty of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he says. And he says, nothing can stop him. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus tells us that he will finish the job in his timing. And we have the privilege of being partners with him in finishing that job. Again, John Piper writes this, if we as a church are disobedient, the cause of God and the cause of world missions will not lose out, we will lose out. God's counsel will stand and he will accomplish all of his purpose, Isaiah 46 verse 10. His triumph is never in question, only our participation in it or our incalculable loss. We can be drunk with private concerns and indifferent to the great enterprise of world evangelization, but God will simply pass over us and do his great work while we shrivel up in our little land of comfort. Ouch, take it easy, Mr. Piper. He's got some great books on Let the Nations Be Glad and a few other books on mission out there in this for $2. Seriously, I pay like $25. But as I come towards the end of this, let me also say that God's mission will not be fulfilled without great costs. Great costs. There is a price to pay, and the price will be very high. But not so high that it's not worth it. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 9, you will be hated by all the nations because of my name. In fact, God has said he has a certain number of martyrs appointed, Revelation 6:11, men and women who will lose their lives for the gospel. And Jesus said that when you're arrested and taken before governors, this will be a time for you to bear testimony. And we must not hide that reality. And we talk about mission today, we talk about going to the ends of the earth to reach the unreached. Friends, it's a dangerous calling to go. But God calls us to go. See, sometimes people think, oh, you know, overseas on mission, are you? It's like an interesting cross-cultural experience. No, their lives are on the line here. They value our love and our prayers and our support. And you, when you write to a missionary, you let them know that you're praying for them. When you Skype them, when you call them, you write to them, you just give them an amazing lift. So if you know anyone serving overseas, write to them, Skype them. Let them know that you are partnering with them, that they're not alone in that work. Because sometimes when you're overseas, you feel alone. And it's a time for us to be biblical and get real. It says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, Matthew 10:16. They'll put some of you to death and you will be hated by all because of my name, yet not a hair of your head will perish. I read this week of a pastor in India found executed, beheaded. It's not the only one. It just came up my knees. Here's someone loving Jesus in his own country. Then I read of another missionary imprisoned for doing the work of the gospel. What Jesus said is true. Some will lose their lives for the gospel. Others will be imprisoned for the gospel. But friends, you know that people have a zeal for the glory of God when they say in the midst of their suffering, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all, 2 Corinthians 4:17. Or they say, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us, Romans 8:18. Or they say, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. You know, when people talk like that, you know that mission is in the making. And friends, the people that we are supporting in May are ordinary people doing extraordinary things. It's tough. There is a cost involved. There is a price to pay. They've left family. They moved to a different country. They've learned a new language. They're developing relationships with locals who have different customs, different traditions, and a different religion. But they go in the power of the Holy Spirit with our prayers and our financial support, trusting in the sovereign plan of God to bring hope to all of the nations of the earth. They have a message of salvation, of a dying Saviour, a resurrected Lord, who offers forgiveness and reconciliation with God to whoever repents and believes in him. It is my prayer that we will stand with them this May, be informed, pray, give, and in the midst of thinking about mission, consider going ourselves on mission. The Holy Spirit wants the world for Christ. The Spirit uses disciples to reach the world, and the Spirit gives power for worldwide witness. It's my prayer that I and we would have a passionate zeal for the glory of God among the nations. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for your work through Christ, our Saviour, to make salvation, forgiveness, and new life possible. And Lord, it is your desire and your delight to see this gospel proclaimed to the unreached peoples of the world, to all the nations, to every language group, every tribe, every people. And we pray as we think again on this calling that you've given your church to be partners with you in this great endeavor of world evangelization, that we would pray, that we would consider what our part would be, that we would listen to your voice and do what your word says. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.